speaking, the principle, the truth that will be shared over the next 20 or 30 minutes relates to any area of life where whatever we are about to undertake or have undertaken, it calls for some degree of commitment. Now, I title the lesson, Commitment Brings Fulfillment and Satisfaction. Commitment brings fulfillment and it brings satisfaction. Now, in all of life, however important, however profound, that area, that aspect of your undertaking in life, without commitment, if you undertake something, it matters not how important it is. If you do not have a good degree of commitment, there will be hesitancy. There will be partial effort. Put another way, you will not put out the necessary effort for success. Because commitment to something helps us to put out the maximum effort for success.
That's right, that's right.
There will not only be partial effort, there will be half-heartedness, there will be ineffectiveness, and there will be the chance of failure. That applies, brothers and sisters, to any area of life where we undertake something. It is true in the Christian area, and it is also truthful in the secular area. One writer said that the moment one definitely commit him herself, then providence moves too. I'm going to repeat that. Let me just, before I repeat it. Providence refers to above, to God. And what this writer is doing is emphasizing the importance of being committed to anything that is important that you undertake. Be serious about it. So he said that the moment one definitely commit oneself, then providence moves too. That means you commit yourself to something. This writer is claiming that heaven will move too on your behalf. Now, take that for what it were. When we commit ourselves to anything that is right, when we commit ourselves to any worthwhile task, and especially Jesus' business, all sort of things happen or occurs to help us that otherwise would never have happened. That's true. You put your shoulder to the wheel. And while there will be challenges, while there will be disappointment, but a lot of time you see help comes from even places that you were not expecting it. The Bible speaks about commitment. And a lot of time it does not use necessarily the word commitment. But we are going to look at a few passages now. And these passages are talking about being committed to anything that you undertake that is worthwhile. And especially Christianity, the business of the church, serving God. Be committed to it. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:19.
To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
And had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Read a little. What? That was verse 19.
Yes. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
We are Christ's representative.
As though God did beseech you by us.
We
pray you in Christ's stead.
We beg you. Now, this is a committed man representing Jesus Christ, begging alien sinners to accept Christ and begging Christians to be more committed to Christ. We pray you in Christ's stead.
Be ye reconciled to God.
Be ye come back to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:16. And somebody look at Romans 1:14. 1 Corinthians 9:16. I give you a wrong passage.
A little difficulty, sir.
For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid on me. Woe is me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. These are the words of a totally committed person. First, he tells us that necessity. When we speak of something necessary, it's like it must be done. I can't live without it. Then after he pointed out that necessity is laid upon him, he said, woe is unto me if I do not preach the gospel of Christ. When Jesus Christ called Paul to the ministry, Paul made a commitment that he would spend his life being committed to Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel. And these words you read in verse 16 are words of commitment.
That's right.
But not only 1 Corinthians 9:16, Romans chapter 1, verse 14.
I am debtor.
I am
debtor.
Debtor.
Both to the Greeks.
Both to the Greeks.
And to the barbarians.
And to the barbarians.
Both to the wise.
Both to the wise.
And to the unwise.
And to the unwise.
So as much as in me is.
So as much as in me
is.
Is.
I am ready to preach the gospel.
I am ready to preach
the gospel.
The gospel
to you that are Rome also.
To you that are Rome also. These are the words of commitment. Notice, I am obligated. You know, we tend to feel, me no owe you anything, me no have any obligation to you. No, when Paul was converted, he committed himself to Jesus Christ. And that commitment, that commitment made him obligated to every man and every woman who need to hear Jesus is true. Do you know that we should have that type of commitment?
Amen.
That as much as in me is, I will strive to share Jesus Christ's truth with every man and every woman that I have the privilege to meet and have the opportunity to speak to about Christ. Keep in mind, of course, we can preach the gospel many ways. When you or I give a man or a woman a religious tract containing the truth, you are giving that person the truth. Because at that moment, it's the most convenient opportunity you had at that moment. When you can sit down with a friend, a relative, a neighbor, and discuss with them what Jesus' truth for their lives is, then that is another opportunity. So, let us not isolate Paul's words of commitment as we have just read in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. As much as in me, I am ready to preach to you also that are in Rome. But here are some more passages. I stated to you that even though the inspired writer do not use in these passages commitment or commit, the weight, the atmosphere of the passage shows you that the person is dealing with being committed. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 20. 1 Timothy.
O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust.
You see, the commitment works two ways. May I? The Almighty God commits his cause to people that he think will commit themselves to his cause. Start again.
O Timothy.
You notice the appeal to it. It's not just an ordinary Timothy. It's O Timothy. That indicates that the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to Timothy, is saying something profound, something special. So this is why the exclamation, O Timothy, read.
Keep that which is committed to thy trust.
Keep that which is committed to your trust. Wait. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are trustees of the gospel of Christ.
That's right.
This is why it is said that the church is the pillar
and ground
of the truth.
That's right.
It is committed to us. But it is not committed to us to just herd it and keep it to ourselves. It's committed to us to share it. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is
committed to thy trust.
Read.
Avoiding profane and vain bamblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called.
Yes, there was what he's talking about is Gnosticism. Gnosticism was a philosophy that was prominent in the time of Paul. And what the Gnostic claim is that they have all knowledge on everything. They were expert on everything. Notice how Paul described them. Read the passage again.
Avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science, falsely now, so called.
You see, science is knowledge. That's the actual word that they claim, that they were knowledgeable on everything. Paul said that they are falsely
so-called.
So-called. They don't know anything. And they were opposing the truth. Paul encouraged Timothy to commit himself. Look at another passage on commitment. 1 Peter chapter 2, 23.
Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. 24.
No, 23 is okay. Sorry, brother, read it again for me.
Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
That is another passage in reference to being committed. What we must keep in mind that is that the Almighty God has always looked for committed people. Jesus Christ and Christianity call for committed men and women. When the writer of Hebrews seemed to be running out of time, and if I may, space, as he listed the heroes of faith. Now, what we must keep in mind, all the characters that are listed in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, they were all men and women who were committed to God's cause. And as the inspired writer lists them one by one and tell you some of the things that they did, when the writer seems to have been running out of time and space, as he listed these heroes of faith, he ended this portion of the book of Hebrews with these words. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and take me up at verse 32 following.
And what shall I more say?
Now, notice we are at verse 32. He has been speaking of these great men and women who were committed genuinely and totally to the cause of Jesus Christ. Wait, Brother Mitchell. May I? A lot of these people were not prophets. The prophet would be the preachers in the Old Testament time. When you hear the Bible speaks of prophet, New Testament or Old Testament, the prophet function and that of the preacher is the same thing, to tell God's word. It is telling forth. That was the work of the prophet. But a lot of the men and women listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they were not preachers. They were simply men and women going about their business, but decided that God was to be served. And when they undertook their responsibility to God, they committed themselves to Him. So the writer of Hebrews chapter 11 started from around verse 4, 5, or 6. And then, one by one, he started to list them. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And he went on. So, right up verse 30, 31, 32, he was just listing men and women who were committed to God. But it seems as if he wanted to move on to something else. But he couldn't help himself. He said, "What shall I
more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon."
I tell you, he was running out of time. But he couldn't help but list some other men and women. Let us hear them. Time would fail me if I tell you of
Gideon. And of Barak. And of Samson. And of Jephthah.
Stop there a while. You talk about commitment. When Jephthah said, "I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back," that's commitment.
That's right.
The man had one child, a girl. Can you imagine how he loved her? And cherished her, his only child. He made a commitment to God that if he went to this battle and won, if God helped him to win, when he returned home, whatever met him first, he would give it as a sacrifice to God. Tell me what the man thought. That when he opened him gate, a sheep or a cow going to be right there to meet him. You know who met him? His daughter. And this is why you had his great words of commitment. When the daughter ran and met him, "So glad to see your father return safely," he said, "Oh, my daughter." Let us look at it in Judges chapter 11. Pick me up from around verse 30. Quick, brother.
Judges. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. And said, "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon,"
remember, shall the Ammonites were Gentiles, fierce enemies of Israel. Read.
"Shall surely be the Lord's.
Anything that come to meet me because you gave me victory, it will belong to you." Read on.
"And I will offer it up for a burnt offering."
You see, that very word tell you he was expecting an animal. Read.
"So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands."
The Lord delivered them into his hands. Read.
"And he smote them from Aurora even till thou come to Minnith," even 20 cities, "and unto the plain of vineyards," with a very great slaughter.
That's right, he was victorious. Read.
"Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel."
Read.
"And Jephthah came to Mizpeh unto his house."
He returned in one piece, safe. Because God worked with him to subdue and defeat the Ammonites. Read.
And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances.
Isn't that wonderful? One child, you can just imagine. Glad to see her daddy, because probably Jephthah was out for days or weeks fighting the Ammonites. And she came with timbrel and with dances to meet her daddy. Read.
And she was his only child.
Mm-hmm.
Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter.
Read.
And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes,
mm-hmm,
and said, Alas, my daughter,
thou
hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me.
What a sad situation. You are one of them that trouble me. I sorry for that young girl. What is the point? Well, he's going to say a few more. Read.
For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back.
That's commitment. That's commitment. That's commitment. This poor, probably a teenager, didn't understand what he meant at that time. But Jephthah understood. We're talking about commitment. Read, pick up in Hebrews chapter 11, brother.
Yes.
Here you touch on Jephthah and that touch a card in me. Read.
Of David also.
Of David.
And Samuel.
Of Samuel.
And of the prophets.
And of the prophets.
Who through faith. Subdued kingdoms.
They subdued kingdoms.
Wrought righteousness.
They wrought righteousness.
Obtained promises.
They obtained promises.
Stopped the mouths of the lions.
They stopped the mouth of lions.
Quenched the violence
they
of fire.
Quenched the violence of fire.
Escaped the edge of
they
the sword.
They escaped the edge of the sword.
Out of weakness were
Out
made
of
strong.
Weakness they were made strong.
Walked valiant in fight.
They walks valiant in battle.
Turn to flight the armies of aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Women received their dead raised to life again.
Mm-hmm.
And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection.
These are words of men and women who were committed. As I've said, Paul just couldn't, or rather the writer of Hebrews, couldn't end without listing these who so committed themselves to God's cause that they left not only their marks on earth, but they have left their marks in heaven.
That's right.
That's why he ended with these excited, motivational list of these great men and women. May I? There will be, because there are quite a few things to be shared on this lesson of commitment that definitely cannot be done tonight. I sought to introduce the lesson tonight. There will be one or two more lessons. But may I just point out a few more things here before we close? A man or a woman may commit him herself to life. I'm just using this as an illustration. And by committing him or herself to life, I don't mean the person make a pledge that he or she wants to live to be 70 or 80 or 100. That's not the type of commitment I am talking about. The type of commitment I'm talking about is the man or woman who commit him or herself to living each moment of his or her life fully, productively, joyfully, spiritually, socially, and economically. A lot of time people make these type of commitment. When a man or woman makes that type of commitment, that commitment becomes the driving force behind that person to work towards the things that the person has committed him or herself to. Commitment becomes the person motivation, the person vitality. This is what I want. I was about to, I know I shared this with you already, but I'll never forget this sister at Elliston Road. To this day, I wonder how she did it. It was a new year, and she had been in the church. Very friendly, jovial, nice person, beautiful and everything. But she felt she had reached the point where she feels she should have found a husband. And I never forget that January or February, she said, she was talking to me, young man, I was just about 18, 20, 21 then. And she was talking to about three of us young men under Brother Walker leadership. And like she said, Brother Mitchell and Brother what and what and what. This year not going to end. And I don't find a husband. And to my God, by the end of the year, she found an husband. You know, I'm sorry I didn't, at that time I was too young to have gone to her to be curious. How did you do it? No, but she had made a commitment. Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 10 is appealing to God's people to be committed people. Let us turn to the passage. Ecclesiastes 9, 10. And hold it when you find it. Let me repeat. Solomon in this passage is appealing to God's people to be committed people. In effect, Solomon is appealing to men and women to be mindful that whatever worthwhile doing the best way possible. Listen to him.
Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do.
Whatever your hand find to do.
Do it with thy might.
Give it your best. Do it with your might.
For there is no work.
There is no work.
Nor device.
No device.
Nor knowledge.
Nor knowledge.
Nor wisdom.
Nor wisdom.
In the grave.
In the grave.
Whither thou goest.
Where you are going. So in this life, whatever there is that is worthwhile doing, when you engage in it, give it your best shot.
That's right.
Is there anything more worthwhile doing than the work of Christ, the work of the church? Is there anything this side of heaven?
No.
I cannot think of anything this side of heaven that is more. Wait, I'm not saying nothing else is worthwhile doing. I'm asking you if you can think of something that is more worthwhile doing than working for Jesus Christ in his body, the church, you tell me, because I cannot think of anything. And Solomon, the wise man, says, whatever your hand find to do, do it with all your might.
That's right.
It is rightly and wisely said that the willingness to do creates the ability to do. I'm going to close with this, and I'm not going to elaborate, because this is the point I'm going to pick up on when we pick up on the second part of this lesson. Let me repeat this quotation again. The willingness to do creates the ability to do. Do you want to do something badly? That badly wanting to do, that desire to do, going to help you find a way to do it. We are going to pick up on this principle when we get back to the lesson next week. Very important. And there are much more on the lesson of being committed. Whatever you are doing in life, if the thing is worthwhile doing, put commitment to it. And that is what Solomon is saying. Are you here tonight, not a child of God? Do you know you can make a commitment to Jesus Christ tonight?